step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Greetings and salutations, ladies and gentlemen. Do not adjust your listening devices. You are hearing the voice of Mr. Velvet Pipes himself, Christopher Platt. And I'm joined by the Commissioner, PC, our impromptu sports pod. I mean, quite frankly, this is how this came about, folks. Just giving you a little insight. To quote Ned Ryerson, Groundhog Day. NBA free agency has been a doozy. So that being said, my brother from another mother, he decided to throw up the plats. We need to chop it up and talk about this. And low-key, bada-ba, bada-boom, we're here.
Amen. That's pretty much what happened. I was like, hey, you wanna talk some sports tomorrow morning? You around? He's like, yeah, sure. I can smoke a bag of that.
Yeah, touche. I haven't smoked a bag, but it's 8:30 here in Atlanta, and I'm already drinking beer. Should I feel bad about that, Sonny?
No, I don't know what you have to do today. If you don't have anything to do, go for it. I will not be drinking. I still have to go to work today, so.
Yeah, the only thing I have on the docket is I've got to accompany my significant other to the doctor, or to the allergen. So that's it.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like much.
No, and it's a holiday week. So I'm celebrating the holiday. Happy birthday, Erica.
Yeah, what the hell? Happy birthday. I mean, well, almost. We're getting there. Man, we had some wicked weather yesterday. You guys been getting any storms lately? Because my, oh my, they just keep popping up here out of nowhere. Lost a tree. Power went out for 12 hours. Oh, my goodness.
Sheesh, no. Actually, our summer has actually been pretty good, man. I mean, typically, I've only been here for, you know, going on 3 years now. But typically, it's a forest. For the most part in the summertime, just like hella rainy and whatnot, not a lot of sun. But this summer has so far been pretty mild, so I can't complain. Like, the weather is beautiful. I can't complain at all. I'm living life right now, man. I'm living my best life, man. Life is good.
All right. Well, you know, I know you got a rough day ahead of you here, so we'll just...
Yes, as the women fan me and feed me grapes in my mouth, yes.
Oh, wouldn't that be just the best to be to be like Julius Caesar back in the day, right?
Man, if I could get Amber on board, I'm still I'm on the polygamy train, man. I really truly think it could work, and I think I figured out the formula of how it could work. I just got to get Creep on board.
Yeah, you got it in you.
I'll keep y'all posted.
Hey, let's get to the real reason we're here. Mr. Platt, this is one of your favorite musical accompaniments.
Stay.
We are currently the morning after the opening, basically on the end of the moratorium for free agency, so teams can actually offer and come to terms verbally. I believe nothing can be officially signed till Saturday, July 6th. So we got a whole week of people saying this, that, and the other thing. Let's not forget, we have had things in the past. Who was it? DeAndre Jordan, who agreed verbally to go to the Mavs and then changed his mind before the signing and ended up staying with the Clippers. So things that are being reported right now are pretty much 99% in the bag, but we have had those instances in the past. Mr. Platt, this has been a really one of the most exciting openings to free agency that I can remember in a very long time.
PC, I agree with you, man, and I frankly, I don't know where to start. I guess we start with the biggest news, which is Kyrie Irving, DeAndre Jordan, and of course Kevin Durant going to Brooklyn, which we've been hearing rumblings that Kyrie was going to Brooklyn this whole time, you know, during free agency. And it didn't make a whole lot of sense to me, especially because you had, what's the young guy? D'Angelo Russell, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Which we'll get to him momentarily. But that didn't make a whole lot of sense to me because it's like, okay, D'Angelo gives you maybe 75, maybe 80% of what Kyrie does. He's younger and you can get him cheaper. Plus, he plays better with others. But perhaps it was a package deal, and they knew it was a package deal. Like, if you get Kyrie, you get KD as well, because those were the rumblings that we heard all season that those two guys wanted to play together. So that's interesting. I think the biggest news coming out of that transaction is the fact that they shunned the Knicks, which kind of lets you know where the Knicks stand within the NBA circle. You know what I mean? Like, nobody wants to go to the Knicks and play for crazy-ass Dolan.
Well, and that's the thing here, is Brooklyn basically becomes the number one team in New York now. They supersede the Knicks, where last season they were much better than the Knicks, but the Knicks were still the bigger basketball franchise. Now, especially after this first season without KD, that second season, you know, once Brooklyn found out that Irving was definitely wanting to go to Brooklyn instead of the New York Knicks, they made the necessary move of packaging up D'Angelo Russell in that sign-and-trade to get Kevin Durant, right? Making more cap space to bring in DeAndre Jordan as well. So it's really interesting because this is going to be Kyrie Irving's team for a year, and then all of a sudden it's going to be Irving and Durant. Do you think there's any way possible that Durant comes back and plays at all next season, like the last 10 games in the playoffs? Because I feel like he'd be best served for his career to be like, you know what, I'm sitting out, I'm taking all the time I need so I can come back and have a good 4 to 6 years left after that.
Yeah, I don't think he plays at all this season. And, you know, I don't think that it's wise for him to play at all this season because, you know, the Achilles thing, it's weird because we've never seen anybody in the NBA come back and be the exact player they were post-Achilles injury. And you can say things like, okay, modern medicine and, you know, they yada, yada, yada. But, I mean, it's still a thing. I mean, I'm just, you know, just go through the annals of the NBA, and nobody's ever come back to the same point that they were after this injury. That being said, he's a 7-foot perimeter player. So while he might not have that same explosiveness, which he probably won't, he's still going to be a damn effective player. So, you know, I mean, he's still going to be, you know, top 5, top 10 in the league when he comes back. But, you know, one of the interesting things about this to me is, you know, we heard rumblings that KD was going to New York. Obviously, we thought it was the Knicks, but it turned out being Brooklyn. But the thing is, you know how vicious that New York media is. And KD, full disclosure, I'm a guy that typically sides with talent or the workers or labor over management. But KD is a guy who, I mean, he's a little prickly, man. Like, he's, you know, he's a little sensitive. I mean, he, you know, he bashed heads with media in OKC, and OKC is probably the most friendly media that you could possibly have because they're the only game in town, so they treat you all with kid gloves. So he clashed in OKC with the media. I don't know how he's going to respond to the New York media. Like, they're going to give them a little bit of leeway, especially considering that he's not probably going to play this year, and if he does, it's going to be very sparingly. And they're going to give them a little bit of a grace period, but let them go through a 3 or 4 game losing streak. They're going to be all over him like flies to shit. And I don't know how he's going to respond to that.
He's got a year off to think about that or to get protected or start insulating himself from those kind of things. I think they're just going to have a hell of a team. I think he's going to be healthy. I think, you know, Kyrie knows what it's like. He needs to have someone as good as him, or if not a little bit better. He has that respect for LeBron now. Speaking of LeBron, here's a good transition. Let's talk about this. Patrick Beverley re-signs with the Clippers. Kawhi has basically come down to the Lakers or the Clippers now, right? I mean, there were rumblings that KD and Kawhi would play together. There's no way Brooklyn can sign him as well. But Do you actually think, because the Lakers ended up making a little bit more space, they have 30-some million in cap room now, do you think there's a good possibility Kawhi ends up going to the Lakers instead of the Clippers? I believe it's one of the two. He's from California, Southern California. Why not go home and get some money and either play against LeBron consistently or with him?
That's interesting because, yeah, I get that he's a California guy, and for whatever reason, those California guys like to go back home. Like, everybody doesn't want to go back home, but they tend to want to go back home. And, you know, what else? I'm hearing rumblings that the Lakers are in the lead right now in terms of the the Kawhi sweepstakes. If I'm Kawhi, I don't know if I'm going to go to the Lakers. I kind of feel like I would prefer to go to the Clippers. Like, I've won my title in San Antonio. I literally just led a one-man organization to the title in Toronto. And I don't know if I want to go and play third fiddle to the Brow and Bron in L.A. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. And maybe I'm just talking from a place of ego. Like, that, it seems like the Clippers would be my preferred destination.
Do you think there's any chance he stays in Toronto?
No, not at all. And it has nothing to do with Toronto, but, I mean, money-wise, like, you're paying double taxes. You're paying taxes in America. You're paying taxes in Toronto. Plus, you on account of the entertainment tax that you have to pay in every city that you perform. And I don't know if a lot of people know about that, but that shit's eating away at your money. So, no, I don't think he stays in Toronto whatsoever.
Let me go over a few other signings. Players staying with their current teams. Corey Joseph signed a 3-year deal with Sacramento. Reggie Bullock ends up going over to the Knicks. Patrick Beverley staying. Jamal Murray gets his max contract. 5 years, $170 million with the Nuggets. Bobby Portis is a 2-year deal with the Knicks. Knicks are just getting these kind of low to mid-end free agents. They said if no one big wanted to come, they weren't going to go out and spend a ton of money on the secondary free agents, which I think is smart. Hopefully, eventually, they'll get someone to come over there. Or, maybe...
That's the thing. Oh, excuse me. That's the thing about the Knicks, though, because the reports are coming out now that they didn't want to offer KD the max deal, which, I mean, a dude 32 years old, what's he, 12, 13 years in the league, coming off an Achilles injury, that's not necessarily a bad business decision. Like, from the optics, it's going to look bad because the Knicks have been struggling for so long and their fan base is so thirsty, but from the optics of it, that's actually not a bad business decision. I understand where they're coming from. Now, the problem is their big catch in free agency was Julius Randle, who I love as a player, but, I mean, come on. Julius Randle's not going to make anybody moist.
76ers agreed to a 4-year, $109 million contract with Al Horford, speaking of players that are getting up there in age. And I believe they also decided to re-sign Tobias Harris and that they're working on a sign-and-trade Jimmy Butler, most likely to Miami.
That's interesting. Like, okay, so on the Jimmy Butler, Tobias Harris thing, okay, I get it. Because Tobias Harris gives you probably about what 80% of what Jimmy Butler does, and he's younger, isn't as prickly as... Oh, I get that. That makes sense. I probably would have re-signed Jimmy because him and Embiid get along pretty well, but I get it. Al Horford is interesting. He's a four that can stretch the floor a little bit. They can kind of use him to kind of alleviate Embiid from some of his minutes because he clearly has to be on a minutes restriction at this particular point in time. So that's a guy that he can play the four and you can throw him over on the five when you need to rest Embiid. Plus, he's a grown-ass man and he's a pro's pro. So, you know, they have a very young locker room and I feel like his influence is going to be felt not so much on the court but off the court. I think that's where he's going to have his best influence. So, but that's a good signing. I mean, Al Horford's, yeah, that's a good dude, man. The problem with him is in Boston and in Atlanta, there were periods of time where he was their first or second best player, and you're not going to win a title with him as your first or second best player or first or second option. But if you can put him as your third or fourth option, now you're working with something. And, you know, you might have a chance. And if I'm Philly, man, I'm looking at the landscape of the NBA and see how everything is changing. But at the same time, I'm a fortuitous bounce away from possibly competing for an NBA title. And going, you know, I know you don't want to hear that because you're a Milwaukee fan. But, you know, I'm not that far away. So you got to hope that MB can stay healthy. You got to hope that Ben Simmons is going to spend this summer developing a jump shot as opposed to keeping up with the Kardashians, and we got a shot at it.
I look at it, it's a double winner for Philly signing Horford. One, he helps them right now, right? He helps them this very next season. He's a great defender. He can shoot the ball. He's smart. And where he's smart helps him in another way. He hopefully will be able to shed some of his professionalism and show that light more to Embiid. Hopefully Embiid will pick up on some of Horford's better traits and become an even better basketball player than he already is. That's kind of what I was thinking for Philly. And like you said, Ben Simmons needs to develop some kind of shot that's, you know, more than 6 feet away from the rim. Speaking of players that need to develop shots, congratulations to our very own MVP here in Milwaukee, Giannis Antetokounmpo. But I would like him to take at least 1,000 jump shots a day over the summer and make himself into the unbeknownst, easily greatest player in the league. But on the free agency front and trade rumors, etc., the Milwaukee Bucks, they went out and signed Brooke Lopez and his brother. They re-signed George Hill. They also gave Chris Middleton a max contract. And in doing all of that, they had to trade away Malcolm Brogdon. They did pick up some draft picks for him, but a good friend of mine pointed out that it sucks that they kind of traded him to the East. It would have been nice if they could have shipped him out West.
Well, how do you feel about the Middleton contract as a Milwaukee fan? Because I like Middleton a lot, but he came up pretty short in the playoffs. So I don't know if I would have gave him max money. How do you feel about that?
I would love to have kept both of them. I mean, the thing is, George Hill played great, so they're hoping that he can take some more of those minutes. We do have younger guards like Sterling Brown, and see if DiVincenzo gets to play this year or not. That could maybe pick up some of those minutes. But to me, Malcolm Brogdon is just, he's one of the most underrated, you know, underknown players in the NBA that's just excellent and solid. The guy was 40, 50, and 90 last year.
And Bledsoe got exposed this postseason, so I don't know if you have the squad that you want to go to war with.
We're going to find out. Speaking of guards moving around, let's talk about one last thing here that I know we haven't touched on. We kind of talked about the move, but Klay Thompson, automatically one of the first players, agreed he's going to sign the max. He's going to stay in Golden State, but he's going to be out for a number of months, if not the entire season. But they do pick up D'Angelo Russell. Talk to me about him and Steph Curry ending up being the new, you know, backcourt for the Golden State Warriors, and that's what's going to have to carry that team throughout the regular season.
Offensively, they're going to be fine. Defensively is where I have issues with that, because, you know, with no Klay Thompson, you have nowhere to hide Steph, and Steph's not the best defender in the world. And D'Angelo Russell, he's a small guard. So it's hard for him to defend bigger guards. So, yeah, offensively, they're going to be just fine, but I don't know how that works defensively.
Well, they did pick up Shabazz Napier and Travion Graham, but also, additionally, this team is going to continue to look different than their championship teams, because they did have to ship out Andre Iguodala and some draft picks to Memphis. So no Iguodala either.
So did you hear the Iguodala interview that he did with the Breakfast Club last week?
No, I missed that.
Okay, so he talked a little bit about how Mark Jackson was blackballed from the NBA because of his views on homosexuality and homosexual marriage. Because, you know, Mark Jackson is a devout Christian. And I'm not saying I agree with his views. You know what I mean? Good or bad, right or wrong. That's not what I'm saying. But the point that I'm making was, I thought that that interview was illuminating. So I feel as if, A, he knew he was going to be traded, or B, he was angling to get out of Golden State for whatever reason. And I mean, because and it kind of harps back to where we started this with the Kevin Durant thing, because word around the campfire is Kevin Durant is pissed off at the highest point of pissativity with the Golden State training staff. He feels like they did him dirty. They didn't let him know the extent of his injury, and they didn't guard him. Because I mean frankly, these players, man, they're literally the most competitive people on the face of the planet. I know this literally for a fact, and you're not going to keep them out of the game. Like, at some point in time, there has to be an adult in the room to say, no, this is going to happen. And they put KD out there. They played him, what was it, like 11 straight minutes, which they talked about he was going to be on a minutes restriction, but that didn't bear out. And then when he finally came out the game, they iced his injury. And anybody that's ever played any sort of competitive sport, you know putting ice on an injury is literally the worst possible thing you can do. You know, PC and I, we've played competitive basketball, and PC, when I was younger, I had issues with my ankles. I would turn my ankle like it was yesterday's news, like it was nothing, like it would happen all the time. And I found that as long as I stayed in the game and I kept it hot, I was good. But the minute I came out the game and it got cold, there was no way I was going to be able to go back into the game. And I don't understand the concept of putting ice on the injury. Like, that goes against everything that I've ever known about sports and athletics and medicine and injuries. Like, I don't understand that. But that's one of the reasons that he wanted to get out of Golden State. But all I said all that to say that Andre Dower, his interview with the Breakfast Club, like, either he was angling to leave or he knew he was about to leave, and they got him up out of there. Now, D'Angelo and Steph, that's a playoff team. Defensively, I don't know what they're going to do, but I mean, it at least keeps them competitive.
I don't know. The more and more I look at these teams and how they're shaken up and how basically you're getting, you know, new versions of all these different franchises that we've had over the past few seasons. Where does DeMarcus Cousins end up? I mean, things like that. Kawhi obviously is going to be the balance, but if Kawhi stays in the East, wouldn't you think no matter what happens, LeBron and Anthony Davis should easily be the front runners? I know Houston has everybody but Harden and Chris Paul on the block as well, so those role players aren't too happy over there either.
Poor Houston, man. I mean, what are you supposed to do there? Like, Chris Paul is about to make damn near $40 million this year, and he's washed. I understand why they gave him the contract, but he's washed now. And there's no way in hell you're going to be able to move that contract. Rumblings that him and James Harden aren't getting along, which that's not surprising to me. Like, Chris Paul is an honorary motherfucker on the court. And you kind of have to be that way as a smaller guard. That's how you get to that position. And, excuse me, I personally haven't met James Harden, but from people that have met James Harden and have had dealings with James Harden, from what I've heard, he's an asshole. So I can understand why they're butting heads. But they're on the hook for damn near $40 million for Chris Paul, and I don't see any way they're going to be able to move that. I feel like they're in a holding pattern. They didn't re-up D'Antoni, which makes him a lame duck coach, which means the players aren't going to pay any attention to him because they know he's about to get up out of there. So that's a dumpster fire right now. It really is.
One last thing I wanted to get your opinion on specifically. There's a few other things I just wanted to mention. Where did I see this here? A couple other guys. Well, skip all that. Last thing I wanted to bring up here as I bring the show to a screeching halt is,
alrighty,
how do you think Kemba Walker is going to fit in with Boston? Because that's the one thing we really haven't talked about in the major moves here. It seemed like they almost brought in the same type of player that they had that didn't work out before.
It is, but he gives you probably 85% of what Kyrie does. You have a closer and a guy that can create his own shot, which NBA title, you need that guy. And he doesn't come with the baggage that Kyrie does. And, you know, speaking as a Cleveland fan, Kyrie's a little prickly, man, and mercurial. And I feel like Kemba plays better with others, or he plays well better than others than Kyrie does. So I think that's actually a pretty good move. Now, the problem that the Celtics are going to have, if they, you know, that's a short-sighted situation, i.e., we're going to have to win a title with this guy within the next 2 to 3 years. Because when you get to the fourth and fifth year of that contract, he's a guard, and guards don't necessarily age well. And you're going to be on the hook for a lot of money for a guard that might not necessarily age well. And then you may find yourself in a Chris Paul Houston Rockets situation.
Yeah,
but overall, I can't fault them for the move.
I think that if Boston wants to be legitimate contenders in the Eastern Conference, this is going to have to become less Kemba Walker's team and more Jason Tatum's team. Right, he's going to have to step up and be the one scoring 22, 23, 24, grabbing 8 rebounds, getting 4 assists a game, with Kemba still averaging right around 20 and 7 or 8 assists.
You're right, man. But at this point, I don't know what his ceiling is. Like, he came back this year, and maybe that was the Kyrie effect, that he wasn't really able to get his shit off. But I agree with you. Like, he's got the talent to be a, you know, top 10, top 15 player in this league, but he's got to make a leap at this year. Maybe it's like NFL quarterbacks. You know, he made, you know, he had a hell of a rookie season, and then people adjusted to him. So now he has to take time to adjust to the adjustments. And maybe he'll do that in this offseason. But I really don't know what that ceiling is for that Boston team. I think Kemba Walker is a really good fit for them, but I don't know what the ceiling is, because I think they got rid of Rozier as well, didn't they?
I believe they did move him as well.
So no Rozier, no Horford, which was kind of an anchor on that. You're betting on a Gordon Hayward who's coming off an injury. Now, you know, from what we know, the injury that he had, you're going to be better the second year than you were your first year, but I don't know what he has left. Also, I think he kind of sensed the growth of Jaylen Brown and Tatum, because they pretty much do kind of the same things. You know, they're wing players that shoot the ball and whatnot. So I don't know how that's going to work. But I do like the signing of Kemp. But I think that's a good signing. And I mean, go for it at this point in time, man. Like, the NBA landscape is wide open with the dismantling of Golden State. So everybody's got a shot. So you might as well go for it, because this might be your opportunity.
Couldn't agree with you more here. I found my other names of note that signed. J.J. Redick going to the Pelicans on a two-year, $26.5 million deal. Former MVP Derrick Rose heading to...
Yeah, that sucks.
Heading to Detroit, two-year, $15 million deal. What's up?
If I'm Philly, I would have held on to J.J. Redick, because you got to have Melon Farmers to shoot the ball. Or if I was the Lakers, I would have offered J.J. Redick some money, because that's what you need. Whether you get Kawhi or not, you need some shooters. You need a big that can protect the rim, and you need a Jamal Crawford, Lou Williams type that can come off the bench and run the offense for you. So, if I was the Lakers, I would have went all out for J.J. Redick. So that's a good signing for OKC, for New Orleans. They're just not ready yet.
Yeah, it's a shooter for Zion. It's going to help him out. Terrence Ross staying in Orlando. Al-Farouq Aminu, he's going to be heading to Orlando on a three-year, $29 million deal. Porzingis, as we expected, signed his max deal. What do we got? Jeremy Lamb to the Pacers, along with Brogdon. Rubio to the Suns. Tobias Harris, that deal was $180 million. That's where your money went, 5 years, $180. Rodney Hood staying with the Trailblazers. We already mentioned George Hill to the Bucks. Julius Randle to the Knicks. Taj Gibson to the Knicks as well. Yeah, and that pretty much covers everything. We've hit on all the stuff here. Ed Davis to the Jazz. CP, last question here. NBA 2019 free agency, and I'm sure, you know, we can finalize the answer to this question maybe next week or the week after, but right now, after night one, who's your biggest winner and biggest loser in NBA free agency so far?
I feel like it's got to be the Nets. I mean, you netted Kyrie and you netted KD. Obviously, KD's probably not going to play this year,
and DeAndre Jordan.
I mean, that's still a top 10 player, and they've got DeAndre Jordan. Like, that's got to be the winner right now. And the biggest loser has got to be the New York Knickerbockers, because nobody wants to fox with y'all.
Yeah, it's tough. I would say the biggest losers would be the Golden State Warriors. They're losing, you know, they're losing Kevin Durant, and they also lost Iguodala. I mean, they're trading over, they're getting Russell in, but you know, Clay's coming back, but not for a little bit. As far as winners, I don't know. What's a bigger win there? I mean, is it New Jersey, or is it going to be whoever ends up getting Kawhi? So I'm gonna hold off. But for right now, I'm gonna agree with you. New Jersey, obviously, Durant and Kyrie.
That's fair, man. Because if Kawhi does end up going to the Lakers, which is what I'm hearing, it's a wrap. Like, they're going to win the title this year. So I get you on that. But seeing as how at the moment that we're recording this, Kawhi is still up in the air, I got to go with New Jersey. Or excuse me, with Brooklyn.
Yeah, formerly New Jersey. The basketball team formerly known as New Jersey.
Yes. But it's like, goddamn, man. Like, it's Madison Square Garden, man. Like, how big of a fuck up is Larry Dolan, really? Like, nobody wants to fox with that squad, man.
That's what you get for throwing Charles Oakley out.
You know what's funny, though, PC, is that Dolan's brother is actually the owner of the Cleveland Indians, which, if y'all don't know, full disclosure, I'm from Cleveland. If you didn't know that, now you know. But yeah, he's the owner of the Cleveland Indians.
Well, they got a couple franchises in the family, so, you know, they must be a little bit know what they're doing.
Well, Larry don't know what he's doing, but the Indians owner, he knows what he's doing, because the Indians, they go through this exact same cycle, man. So there'll be maybe a, we'll have like a 2 to 3 year window where they're competitive and can compete for a World Series title. And then they fall off the map. They sell off all their assets. They pick up a bunch of draft players, and then they're down for like a 3 to 5 year period. And then they come back up because they drafted well, or they scouted well. So, you know, they traded off their assets for some, you know, some valuable prospects. And then we'll be up again. And then we'll have a 2 to 3 year window where we're good and have an opportunity to win a title. And I feel like we're going through that right now. I feel like it's that transitional period right now for Cleveland.
Well, speaking of baseball, let's switch on over topics here.
Sports, 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 sports.
Yeah, I found a little, you know, sports transition soundbite. How do you like that, huh?
All right. Well, yes. All right. Yeah, you didn't jump off any small porches for that one, but okay, cool.
All right.
Not a sports fan, huh?
Clearly, I'm a sports fan. We literally came on here to talk sports.
Well, let me just run down the All-Star rosters are out. You can check them out. Go wherever, ESPN, CBS, whatever your favorite sports app is, but I'll just run down the starters for you. In the National League, Wilson Contreras, Freddie Freeman, Keitel Marte, Javi Baez, Nolan Arenado, Christian Yelich, your defending MVP. He's also going to be in the Home Run Derby. Cody Bellinger and Ronald Acuna Jr., who's a very dynamic, young, quick player down in Atlanta. Platt, I'm sure you hear his name all the time. Gary Sanchez, Carlos Santana, DJ LeMahieu, Jorge Polanco, Alex Bregman, Mike Trout, George Springer, and Michael Brantley rounded out on the starting side for the AL. The Astros ended up with the most All-Stars.
Don't forget about Enrique Palazzo.
Who?
Enrique Palazzo.
Where's he?
Clearly not a Naked Gun fan. Go ahead, man. Keep going.
Strike three! And Hunter Pence is also your DH for the American League. So, yeah, I don't know. What are your interests on Major League Baseball All-Star Week, the whole thing with the Home Run Derby? Do you tune in? I mean, the celebrity softball game. Any interest at all?
Not even a little bit, and I feel bad because the All-Star game weekend is in Cleveland this year. But, yeah, not at all, man. I don't start paying attention to baseball until after the All-Star game because it's just way too many games, man. And I told Carl Crawford this. I don't even think he's playing anymore, but I told him this, and he felt me. So I feel justified in my position.
All right. Well, then we won't talk about it anymore.
Well, I mean, don't sound butthurt about it. I mean, it's just what it is, what it is. Man, it's 182 games. How the hell am I supposed to keep up with 182 games, man?
All right, let's talk about one last thing here. You wanted to talk about this. Wimbledon started. You enjoy watching Wimbledon? I got it on right now. I think the women are more entertaining to watch than the men with the longer volleys and, you know, stretched out points. And to me, they look better than the men, but that's all opinion as well. But what are your thoughts on, you know, tennis? I only watch it when the Grand Slams are on, but I appreciate it.
I agree with everything you said. I prefer this game to the men's game for everything you said. Plus, at the point where, you know, men go five sets. I don't have 7 hours to devote to fucking tennis, man. But a woman's, you know, woman's game is going to go three sets, 2 hours, two and a half, and we out. I get that, yes. But, yeah, I'm a huge tennis mark, if you didn't know. Tennis was one of the games that I grew up playing, so I love tennis. I don't pay as much attention now, you know, as I did as a kid because, you know, I got shit going on because I'm a grown-ass man. But I do pay attention to the majors. I love Wimbledon, and that's on my bucket list to actually go to Wimbledon. So I'd love to see Serena pull it out. But there's a lot of interesting talent on the women's side. And the women are better anyway because, you know, on the men's side, they at this point in time, they're serving up 200-mile-per-hour aces. What fun is that? You know what I mean? There's no fun in that at this particular point in time. So, yes, I'm much more of a women's fan, so I'm looking forward to that. And Serena plays tomorrow, BT-dub, so if you want to tune in, tune in.
Definitely always paying attention to whenever Serena's playing. But you said, you know, you're a big fan growing up. Who were some of the people that drew you to watching tennis when you were younger? Because it seemed like there was more international personalities growing up, too.
So Gabriella Sabatini, because she was cute, that she drew me in. I was a big Yvonne Lindell fan, even though he could never win the big one. And I loved Andre Agassi because he had, you know, just going back to the wrestling thing, like he had style, he had flair, you know what I mean? So I really liked him as well. And I got to give a shout out to, you know, the black folks, Maya B. of Washington. So I got to give him a shout out. Like, he never made it big, but, you know, it was a brother, so I got to give him a shout out. And, oh, my goodness, what's the black girl? Oh, I feel so horrible. This was pre-Serena and Venus. Zena Garris. I got to give a shout out to Zena Garris.
I was
so,
always...
Yeah, those were some of the...
Go ahead.
No, go ahead, man. What were you going to say?
I was always a big Michael Chang fan on top of all the players that you mentioned. I believe he won the U.S. Open one year. That was pretty awesome to watch. Who else was some of
the... He did. Yeah. And I also got hooked that year that Jim Courier came back with his old ass, and he made it to the semifinals of the U.S. Open. Like that was just a really cool story.
Pete Sampras was always fun to watch.
Not Jim Courier. What was his name? Jim Courier? Jimmy Connors. That's
yeah,
Jimmy Connors.
Courier was a good tennis player as well, though.
Yeah, that's the redhead dude. Yeah, but I'm talking about Jimmy Connors. But Courier was a really good tennis player as well. I never got into Pete Sampras because he had no personality, so he was just boring to me, and he was just so damn good. Yeah, I mean, it
especially at Wimbledon.
He was. What did you say?
Especially at Wimbledon.
Yeah, he was just so damn good. It pissed me off. He was the precursor to Federer. Like Federer is the new and improved Pete Sampras. But I was an Agassi guy because he had the style over substance. He was with Brooke Shields, which I kind of used to have a thing for Brooke Shields, and he was cool, man. Like Agassi was cool, and he was a counter player, which I can relate to that as being a tennis player. My serve ain't shit, but I'm a good counter.
And then on the women's side, when we were younger, you got Agassi's now wife Steffi Graf, who was one of the most dominant tennis players, male or female, for a period of time. Names like Lindsay Davenport and Monica Seles, the Williams sisters. I remember when Venus first came on, and she was the greatest thing since sliced bread, and no one was really sure if, like, Serena was going to be better than her, but it was very apparent soon on that Serena just had a more dynamic game, but people forget how great Venus was for a good period of time.
That's true. She was dominant, man, but the dad knew. Like, the dad literally said, like, Serena's the one, and Venus came on scene because she was a little bit older, and yeah, she... scene and tore shit up for a little bit, but yeah, the dad knew that Serena was gonna be the one. And I mean, that's a beautiful story. That, like, low-key PC, that might be the best American sports story ever. From Compton, California, you know what I mean, and their dad trained them and turned them into these all-star tennis players, man. Like, that's a hell of a story.
Yeah, I mean, I've always been drawn to watching them play. I'm sure the ratings can, you know, agree with exactly making the case that it is one of the greatest stories of all time. So I know there's millions of fans and people that, you know, flock just to these events just to make sure that they can say that they seen them play. So like you said, a lot of people have a bucket list of eating strawberries and cream at center court at Wimbledon.
Yeah, I'm going to go to Wimbledon and I'm going to wear my all white and... it's going to be glorious. Shout out to Monica Seles as well, who you left off your list, man, because she was a dog as well until some weirdo stabbed her and then it fucked her whole shit up. And Jennifer Capriati, she was a dog as well for a little bit. She was young and she kind of got caught up in that, you know, that child star thing, which a lot of child stars get caught up in. But she was cool for, you know, she was a good player, man, when she lasted. So I just had to throw those ladies some shouts out because I enjoy the women's game more than the men's, because I don't need to see ace and ace and ace and ace back and forth with the men. Like, that's not entertaining to me.
I will say, though, the clay court, the French Open, when the men are playing on the clay, that's pretty fun because they're really moving and sliding all the way over. It's like basically playing tennis on skates over there.
I like Wimbledon because of the pageantry and the history with Wimbledon, and I like the U.S. Open because of the raucous American crowd. It's so anti-tennis, you know what I mean? Because tennis is supposed to be so prim and proper, and you got these drunk-ass Americans. Arrgh! That's cool to me. I like that. Yeah, I like that.
All right, CP, before we get out of here and tell everybody where they can find us and all the fun things that we can, you know, provide them with over at thechairshot.com, your last overall sports thought for this week and maybe until next week?
Last overall sports thought this week. Give me a hot second.
Well, let's do a commercial while you're waiting, all right? We're going to think this over.
Okay, okay, cool.
Alfred, would you mind relieving us for a minute?
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Why should you visit thechairshot.com? Thechairshot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. Thechairshot.com. Always use your head. Shout out to the Brooklyn Nets. Whether or not it's going to work out with Kyrie and KD and Mom from the State Farm commercials, you've made yourselves relevant in the NBA landscape. So shout out to y'all. Y'all are having the best week ever right now. And I hope you all and your executives and your fans enjoy your 4th of July.
Yeah, great shout out right there. I am my final thing. I'm just trying to look it up right here. It's right in front of me. It'll be worth it, folks. All right, as we head towards the 4th of July, the 4th of July is known for the hot dog eating contest.
Fireworks. Oh, Jesus Christ. Oh, my God.
There is going to be an excellent 30 for 30 Tuesday, July 2nd, on the rivalry between Kobayashi and Joey Chestnut.
And Joey Chestnut, yeah. Or Cody Chestnut.
No, Joey. Joey Chestnut.
Is it Jody? It's not Cody?
It's Joey. Joey.
Okay.
Like all a baby, right. Like all a baby right. Kangaroo.
The dingo ate my baby, but go on.
So just check that out. I think it's going to be entertaining television to see, you know, the controversy behind the hot dog.
And disgusting, but go on. Whatever floats your boat or finds your lost remote. Shout out to PC.
Whatever cranks your cheese wheel, baby. All right, CP, I'm good, man. Take us home, brother.
Hey, man, first and foremost, man, if you enjoyed the content that we provide on The Chair Shot, please do us a favor and go to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. Pick up an official Chair Shot t-shirt. Please and thank you. Thank you. And please, we've let you know where you can find us. On behalf of PC, who invited me here, I'm Mr. Velvet Pipes, Christopher Platt. Thanks for tuning in. Hopefully we'll do this again. Until then, shalom.
How about Vince McMahon? I don't know what else to play. No chance, that's what you got. Up against a machine too strong. Pretty politicians buying songs from Russell. God damn it, I want Kevin Durant. Who said these two knuckleheads could talk about sports? It's supposed to be wrestling, wrestling, wrestling.
Pop. Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.